One time, there was a young man who had just left the yeshiva. He's going to go visit home. He had become a Talmud Chochem. He had been away from his family for a long time. And now he's traveling home to visit his family. In order to get home, he has to go across the ocean in a boat. Not a boat, a ship. A boat is little, a ship is big. And traveling on this ship are many people, and many different kinds of people. And they have to go for a few days, maybe even a few weeks. It's a long trip. And this is long ago, before the ships had motors and engines. They had sails. The wind blows. So day and night, they go on the ship. They have their rooms, but then there are also rooms where they could like sit and eat or talk, like recreation kind of rooms, lounges, dining rooms, different kinds of places. And this young man, this Talmud Chochem, what would he do in his spare time? Of course he would learn, and he would daven 3 times a day. He had his own kosher food. He had svarim that he would sit and learn. And once in a while, he would learn in a big room where other people were sitting. And one night, sitting around the big table, was a group of businessmen. You know what's businessmen? Pretty soon you're going to find out the different kind of businessmen that were on the boat. The first one says, "Oh, I went on such a very good business trip across the ocean. I had different kinds of clothing, suits and dresses and pants and shirts. And now I'm coming back with a nice box of money that I made selling the things. And I have, of course, more clothing that's left over in boxes that I'll go sell in another place when we get to a port. A port is a place where the ship docks. I'll go make more business. I've got a very good business. I'm making so much money. It's wonderful." And somebody else by the table says, "Well, clothing is a pretty good business. I think my business is better than you. I saw when you were selling your clothing, you had a line, but I had even a longer line." "Oh yeah, what were you selling?" "I was selling dishes, glasses, pots and pans, frying pans, pots for cooking, silverware. Oh boy, didn't you see my line? How people were buying from me? I made a lot of silver and gold and money. And I have also pots and pans to sell other places. I've got the best business going." Somebody else says, "Yeah, you've got a good business, huh? And you also have a good business." "Well, I have a jewelry business. Maybe my line was a little bit smaller, but when a person buys a diamond, or they buy a golden ring with jewels, they pay a lot of money. And I was selling a lot of things. And I made a lot of money." And everybody is arguing about whose business is better and bragging about how much money they made and how successful they are, how smart they are. And all of a sudden, they turn around to this young man who's sitting by the side, the Talmud Chochem, who's looking to a sefer. And they said, "Young man, you look like you're old enough to make a living. What's your business?" He says, "Well, I'm not going to go bragging about my business, but as long as you ask, I actually have a business that's better than any business." "What? And you're not sitting by the table telling us? Oh, let's hear about your business. Let's hear about how much money you made and how smart you are and how clever you are and how much business you make." "Well," he says, "my business is learning Torah. I am learning Torah, and that's the best business, better than any other business." The man said, "You mean learning that book? You mean you're just sitting there learning? Where is your money? Where is your silver and gold?" "Well, I don't have silver and gold. I have better than silver and gold." "Oh yeah? Where are your diamonds? Let's see it. Well, I have something better than diamonds and better than silver and gold. Well, what is it? What do you get for that business? Well, what I get is learning Torah. I learn Torah, and I have the Torah. It's in my head. Baruch Hashem, I sat in yeshiva, and I sit now in my time that I'm on the ship, and I'm learning Torah. So when I learn Torah, I have the Torah in my head. And better than gold, and better than silver, and diamonds, and jewels, and all of the good things in the world, I have the best thing, and that is Hashem Himself, who is the source of all the brachas and all the good things. And they start to laugh, and they start to make fun. He says it's a good business, and he says it's the best business. Ho-ho! What a funny thing. What is it, a business? No silver, no gold, no jewels, no money, no boxes full of stuff. What is it anyway? And they start laughing. They think it's a good joke. And they go on bragging and saying how much money they made and how many things they're going to buy and sell and all of this business stuff. All of a sudden, somebody yells outside, there are people outside on the ship also. Pirates! Pirates! Pirates off to the left side! A pirate ship is coming! What? Pirates? You know what's pirates? Yeah. Pirates are robbers in the ocean, and they go on a ship, and they pull their robber ship, their pirate ship, alongside of a regular ship going. And the pirates jump over and they steal. That's what a pirate ship is. And hopefully they don't do anything worse than just that, stealing. That's what they want to do, steal. Sometimes they do even worse things than that. And sure enough, the people look over to the side and they see a pirate ship is coming. And the pirates over there standing over there on their ship with their big swords and their big hats. And their big mustaches, and of course they have the patches over the eye, and they have, you know, pirate clothes, and they have pirate stuff over there, and they have a pirate captain, and they have all the pirate, different kind of pirate stuff on their boat. And the pirates are saying, "Ooh, we got a ship in the middle of the ocean. What a good catch we have. Oh, look at all those people, probably at a lot of business people there with a lot of good things. Hoo-hoo. This is a good pirate day. Get ready because the pirates are coming." And everybody gets afraid. And the businessmen say, "Oh no, what's going to be with all of our stuff? It's down in the hold." The hold is the place down where they keep the cargo are all the boxes and all the stuff. "Oh, let's run down and protect our things. All of our boxes of stuff are down below under the boat in the big room down there where they keep all the suitcases and all the boxes. Let's go protect our stuff. They shouldn't steal it. Oy vey, and our money. Ooh, pirates." And Kinalach, the young man takes out a tehillim and he's davening to Hashem that he should help from the pirates. And the businessmen are scattering around, running down to protect their stuff. And now the pirates are climbing over, coming on the ship. "All right, give us all of your money and all of your stuff because the pirates are here." And the pirates are going around taking everything from the people. And they say, "Let's go down under where all the big boxes and suitcases and all the good stuff are kept." And they go down, and over there they meet the man with all the different suits and clothes. "Hey, it's your stuff, eh? Give it to us. We're taking it away. And don't make any trouble. We're pirates with long swords." And they go and they take away all of his beautiful things and clothes. And they take away his money. Even he tries to hide it in his pockets. They get it. He tries to hide it different secret places in his shoes. They take it out of his shoes because the pirates know where he keeps it. They take it from his hat. And behind his ears, he tries to hide something. They know all the tricks. They take everything away. And the man is crying, "I lost everything." And then they go to the man with the pots and pans. Now, he's going to hide pots and pans? How many pots and pans can you hide already? He's going to hide pots and pans in his shirt. And they go and they start taking away his boxes of pots and pans and dishes. Hey, don't break it. It's full of glasses. You hear that clinking? Yeah, yeah. Well, be careful. We'll take it to the pirate ship and we'll make sure it doesn't break. And they take away pots and pans and beautiful dishes and silverware. And they find his money and they take it away. He tries to hide it in his socks. They reach down in his socks. They take it out. Whoop! And they take away everything. I have lost all of my stuff. The pirates took it away. And they go to the jewelry man and they take away his stuff. And they went to every businessman and they took away all of his boxes and all of his things. And they took away everything from the whole ship, from everybody. And they climb back on the pirate ship. And they sail away, and they're making a big party over there, and they're so happy, and everybody on the other ship is crying. And the young man is still saying to him, thankful that Hashem saved their lives, and only the stuff was taken, but he felt bad for the people. They're all crying. Finally, the ship reaches the place where it's supposed to go, and it's the final stop, and the people get off. And the businessmen get off. And all the people get off. And the Yiddish young man gets off. The businessmen now had no things left, and they had no money left. And they said, what are we going to do? No more things and no more money. What are we going to do? There was only one thing to do. They became beggars. And they went through the street together. They kept together as friends. And they were begging for a penny and begging for a nickel and begging for some food and begging for some drink. And they slept in the park or they slept under a tree or on a park bench. And this is what happened to them, beggars, because they had no money and no things. The young man went to shul, and he sat down, and he started learning Torah. The people of the shul, they see, ooh, a new person in the shul. Actually, he had been away so long, they didn't remember that he was a little boy when he left. Now he's a young man. They could hardly recognize him. And they listened to him learning Torah, because he learned out loud. You know, when you learn Torah, you learn in a voice that is a voice at least that you should be able to hear, maybe a little bit louder if it doesn't disturb anybody else, because your ears hear the words. And some people by the table, they said, ooh, listen to this young man learn Torah. He learns very nicely. And they sat around. Maybe you could teach us a little bit of that Mishnayos or that Gemara that you're learning? Sure, I'd be happy to. And he started giving a shiur. It just happened automatically because the people heard him learning and they liked the way he learns and they sat down to learn with him and they said, this is wonderful. Maybe tomorrow you can also give us a shiur. Oh, I'd be happy to. But where's the rabbi of the shul? Isn't there a rav? Isn't there somebody to give shiurim? No, unfortunately, recently he passed away and he didn't leave anybody to be in his place. So we're looking for a new rav for the shul. Now, kinalach, you know, there's different studies of a person in yeshiva. And one way is that a person can get smicha. You know what smicha is? He becomes a real rav. And there's certain things to become a real rav that you learn. First, there's one kind of smicha, and then there's a different kind of smicha, and according to your learning, you can become a rav, and then there's a dayan, different kinds of learning that a person can become. This young man in yeshiva had already become so learned and such a big Talmud Chachem that he could be a rav of a shul. But, of course, he didn't have a shul yet, and he was still happy just learning. But he was good enough to become a rav. He was learned enough, and he had done enough learning to become a rav. And they said, well, maybe you could become the rav of our shul. After all, we see you're a big Talmud Chochem. He says, me? Be the Rav of the Shul? He said, sure, we'd love to have you to be our Rav. Now, as much as he didn't want to become a Rav, because a person should not want to become a leader over other people, but they asked him, and they asked him, and they asked him again, and they really needed somebody. So finally, he said, okay, I'll be happy to become the Rav, if that's what you need over here. And they said, by the way, it's up to the shul that we should take care of our Rav. We don't want you to do anything except learn and daven and take care of the things that a Rav has to take care of, and take care of the shul, and take care of the things that the people need. So we don't want you to have to worry about money. We don't want to have to you to worry about a place to live. And Kinalach, they said, we're going to take you to your brand new house where you're going to live as our Rav, because we have a house for the Rav. And we're going to pay you the money that you need. Now, this young man wasn't even married yet. And they told him, when you have a chasana and you get married, we'll take care of you and your kala. And when you start having children, Mirat Hashem, we'll take care of your whole family. You don't have to worry about a thing, because you're going to be our Rav and we'll take care of you. And they were so happy that they had a new Rav. They were going to make a big simcha to welcome the new Rav. And they were going to make a nice suda in the shul. And now they take the man to show him his new house. And he's walking through the street. And he's got the whole shul with him, the people, and even the kiddies are going. And they're so excited that they have a new Rav. And all these people are going through the street like a big parade. All of a sudden, as the people are going through the street, the beggars are sitting by the street, and the beggars are looking, and they say, look, a big crowd of people. I wonder where they're going. I wonder what's happening. Looks like a parade over here. Hey, look, they're carrying somebody on a chair. They were carrying their new Rav on a chair. Mamash like a chasana. I mean, they were so happy they're having a new Rav. Who's the important person that this whole parade is for? All of a sudden they look up. Hey, didn't we see him there before somewhere? Hey, look at that man. Wait, this is some kind of a Jewish parade. These are religious Jews, yes. Didn't we see that young man somewhere before? Hey, yeah. Wasn't he the one on the ship when we were going before the pirates came? And we were all talking about our business, and he was sitting by the side with that book in his hand, and we were laughing at him? Yeah, that's the one. He was talking about the business of Tyre. Remember, we were laughing. What a joke. Yeah, that's him. I wonder what's going on. And the beggars now come over to the Rav, the new Rav. And they say, hey, you remember us? Oh, yes. Yes, I remember you. Oh, the businessman. What's happened to you? Look, you're beggars. I feel so bad for you. What happened? Well, you know, we lost everything, and we lost all our money, and we don't have any way to get back our businesses, so we're just beggars now. What's going on with you? Where are you going with this big parade? Well, we're going to my new house. What? You have a house? Ooh, we lost our houses because we had to pay bills, and we had to sell our houses because we had so many bills to pay and we didn't have any money. So we don't even have houses anymore. Well, we sleep in the street. How'd you get a new house? Well, I became the Rav of the shul in the town, and they're taking me to show me my new house. And then afterwards, we're going to the big party, and we're going to have a big meal, a big suda, a special meal. What? You mean there's going to be food? You have food to eat in a big house? Yeah, you want to come? Join the parade. And now, Kinalach, the beggars go in the parade. And the first stop is the new house, and they go into the house and sing and dance and say Divrei Torah. Oh, the beggars say, look at this nice house. Ooh, how does he get such a house? Even we don't have a house. Well, it must be because he's the Rav. And so he gets a house. And then they go to the shul, and they have a delicious meal. And they're singing and dancing and words of Torah, and they make a table for the beggars, and they eat a delicious meal. Look, delicious food. How does he get all of this? We don't even understand. He's not like even interested to work for all of the kinds of money to buy houses and food, but he gets it anyway. Well, don't you remember what he said? He said that Torah is the best business. Yeah, Torah. All this comes because he has Torah. And you know what else the beggar said? We lost all of our things. They were stolen by the pirates. Did he get anything taken away from him when the pirates came on the ship? No. You know why? Why couldn't the pirates steal his Torah, boys? Where was he keeping his Torah? Down below in a big box? Was it in a bag in his pocket? Did he have the Torah hidden away somewhere in his pocket that they could reach in and take it away? Where was his Torah the whole time? In his head. Could the pirates take the Torah out of his head, Chas v'Shalom? No, he didn't lose a thing. Because it's in a place that the pirates can't even take it. And the beggar said, you know what? Torah is the best business. Because that's the business that's going to last forever. Nobody can take it away from him. And all kinds of good things come from the Torah. And Kinalach, the Rav, asked the people of his shul to help the beggars, that first of all, they should have enough money to buy decent clothes. And he asked them if they can help the businessmen get back their jobs, or help in businesses to get back into business, or to lend money. You know, it's a big mitzvah to lend money to people that they should be able to start their own business again. And the people of the shul helped the beggars to become back businessmen until they were able to get back their pots and pans and to buy suits and jewelry and make business again. And of course, the beggars are very thankful to the Rav that he helped them out. And the Rav told them, don't thank me, thank Hashem. Like I told you, when you learn Torah and when you do mitzvahs, you're connected with Hashem, and from Hashem comes all the good things and all the good brachas for everyone. And so, Kinalach, we learn from this story that what's the best business? Torah. Torah is the best deschaire. It happened one night, I think it was a Friday night. There was a minyan of Yidden in shul, very halik at tzadikim Yidden, and they were davening to Hashem. And they were feeling a special halikait, a special kavana, a special koyach, that their davening was very halik and very high, more than any other time they ever felt. And they said, tonight must be some kind of a special night. Our davening is so beautiful, so special. We all feel a special kedusha, a special halakite. And they were davening, and they were davening. And then they finished the davening. And they said, you know what? All of us feel such a halakite, and each one was a tzaddik. Let's bring Mashiach right now with our kavanis, with our tefillis, with our koiches and kedusha. Because every tzaddik has a special koyach in halakait, and he knows all kinds of things to think in his mind. Like you remember, the Kohen Gadol, when he went into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur, what did he have in his mind? Very special halakha thoughts, right? A way that a tzaddik serves Hashem, besides all the other things he does in Torah and Mitzvahs, is special kavanas, special things in his mind, very halakha thoughts. And as we know, the Kohen Gadol, if he would think one wrong thing in his head during the Avodah on Yom Kippur and the Kodesh Kodashim, what would happen to him? He would pass away. And that's why they tied a rope around his waist when he went in case he thought one little thing wrong. They would have to schlep him out with a rope because nobody could go in after him, because nobody was allowed in the Kodesh Kodashim, only the Kohen Gadol and only on Yom Kippur. And these tzaddikim felt the special halakhite, and they said, let's bring Mashiach right now, tonight, with our davening, with our kavanis. And they start davening, and they start saying tehillim, and different things that they're saying. And all of a sudden, another person comes into the shul, comes to the door. Now, it was very, very late at night. It wasn't the time that usually a person comes into the shul. All of a sudden, a stranger walked into the shul. Somebody that they had not seen before. And they looked up and they saw also, he looked like a very halakhic tzaddik. Who is this? We never saw him before. And he says, I am the Baal Shem Tov. And I've come many, many, many miles through Kfitzas HaDerech. Kfitzas HaDerech is a special way that the Baal Shem Tov used to travel, that you go very far in very little time. Okay, you see this, where I have my finger over here? Okay, my finger is over here, and the other finger is over here, right?
Two fingers spread apart.
What is the closest way between the two fingers? Is it to go around the room and then go from one finger to the other? Or is there a quicker way to get from one finger to the other? Yassel, come here and tell us, what's the quickest way to get from one finger to the other finger?
Just go straight.
Go straight, okay?
Make a straight line, right? Between one place and the other.
Okay, there's an even a quicker way. You want to hear the quicker way? You shrink the space between the two fingers as if there's no space between the two fingers, not even drawing a straight line. It's just like all the space between the two fingers disappear and they come together like that. Okay? That's called Kfitzas HaDerech. It's a special miracle way that certain big halakhic tzaddikim used to have. And so the Baal Shem Tov said, I've come here through Kfitzas HaDerech to stop you from what you're doing. I am stopping you from going on with your halakhic davening and trying to do what you're doing. And they looked up. They couldn't believe it. But we want to bring Mashiach. We want Mashiach to come tonight. And every Jew believes that each and every day Mashiach could come. So we want Mashiach to come tonight. And we want to bring Mashiach. And you're coming to stop what we're doing? The Baal Shem Tov says, yes. Because now is not the time for Mashiach to come. There's going to be a later time, and that's the time for Mashiach. Now is just not the time for Mashiach to come, so you can stop doing what you're doing. This is not the time for Mashiach to come. There's a different time later, and that's going to be the time that Mashiach will actually come. Nekinalach, remember what we just learned? In the Bris Beinah Besarim, David HaMelech, with Ruach HaKodesh, this bird that comes down on the pieces of the birds, this is David HaMelech. The animals. The animals in the Bris Beinah Besarim are the Goyim. The Goyim are like animals. The different Goyim throughout the Golis that make trouble for the Yidden are like the animals. The robber bird that comes down on the pieces of the animals, this is David HaMelech. He wants to destroy the Goyim, to build the base of Mikdash. There should never be any Golis anymore, and he'll take care of everything. What does Avram do? He chases him away? No, David HaMelech, no, don't do it. Why not? You know why not? What does Rashi say? Because David HaMelech is not going to be the one to do this. It's not time in his time to end all Golis, to destroy all the Goyim, and to take care of the whole job. Who is going to do this job? Who? Mashiach. Melech HaMashiach. The same thing in the Baal Shem Tov story. These tzaddikim wanted to take care of something to bring Mashiach. But for whatever reason, the Baal Shem Tov knew this was not their job to do. And it wasn't the time for it. It was going to be a later time. Each and every day we believe that Mashiach is coming, of course. But this was not the time for Mashiach to come. There had to be a later time, the Baal Shem Tov. The Mashiach is going to come. That's the way it is. The same way that the Baal Shem Tov said, in his time Mashiach is not coming, who said that in our time Mashiach is coming? Okay, the Rebbe said, the Rebbe didn't have to say it. The Baal Shem Tov didn't say it. The Baal Shem Tov did not say Mashiach is coming in his time. The Rebbe said Mashiach is coming in our time.